Come on up, guys. Like every guy that was there, we're not necessarily all going to have to share something, but come on up. There was about 456 men registered at the conference this year. It was a record. And for doing a COVID season, that was really great. So just line up all the way in single file in front. Come in front of this stuff. Come in front. Yeah. Spread out shoulder to shoulder. Hey, can we give a Jesus on three? One, two, three. Jesus! Yeah. Amen. All right. So our River Worship team, as you could see, was all asked to lead worship once again. And so it was a powerful time. So I'm going to let these guys share, whoever wants to, and then I will close it up.
Hey, everybody. My name is Paul Fralick, and I had a really good time at this conference once again. Since you're talking about political stuff, that was a lot of what we talked about, just because of the season we're in, of course. So just talked about knowing the truth, knowing Jesus, knowing the Word. And one guy said, caring about truth is caring about God, which really put it in perspective. It's not just something that we have an option on. We have to care about truth. So just about the something that really spoke to me, like what keeps you awake at night? When the disciples were in the boat and there was a storm and Jesus was sleeping, what we can get from that is that what worries us puts Jesus to sleep, but the things that keep him awake put us to sleep usually. So we need to be awake to what keeps him awake. And the pastor who was preaching on this, he talked about, like, what if you're talking to your spouse and they fell asleep on you? And sometimes God's trying to talk to his bride, but she won't wake up. So I want to be awake to what God is saying. I didn't get what God's saying 100% out of a conference. I need to get at his feet every single day. I need to be reading the Word. I need to be plugged into what we're doing here because we are engaging the culture at this church, and there's good prayer. This is a really solid place to be awoke. So I need to, that's not something that I accomplished, but I'm resolute. I'm going to be awake. I'm going to be in the presence, and that's kind of the main thing I got out of it. My power is not enough. I need the full backing of heaven behind my message. That's why we need the Word. We can't just be passionate about our message. We need his endorsement.
Hey everyone, I'm Ryan. So the theme of the conference was rise and build. And what I really liked about the conference just in general was that they kind of had tracks that you can go on, that every workshop, if you chose to, would have like a similar theme, right? So you could pick the track and then those pastors would be speaking on a theme or a biblical base that focused on that track. So I chose the track that was called Growth and Discipleship. So two things that kind of hit my heart really hard and really grounded me was the very first night, Pastor Keith talking about covenant and what it means to be like a covenant people. And so just a couple things, covenant people promote the kingdom with the blessings that we have, so the resources we have, the blessings we have, because we're part of God's covenant and part of his church, we use those blessings to bless each other and the church. Covenant people consider it an honor to carry each other. So when we see our brothers or our sisters, families who are in the same covenant, it's not a burden to support and carry and bring resources. It's an honor. So as little as, you know, holding a door for someone or helping build a garage for someone or staying up with someone overnight if there's... So it's an honor to carry and support each other in our covenant. The other point, so I was in the growth and discipleship track, and Arise and Build was the topic or the theme of the conference, and foundation, like the word foundation kept like resonating in me. The first speaker in that track talked about the why, right? Why do we do discipleship? And the why is because Jesus told us to, right? Matthew 28, 19 through 20, go forth and make disciples. And disciples then got defined really well throughout the rest of the conference. And discipleship is not about, you know, attending. It's about forging relationships and sharpening each other and equipping each other so that we can then go forth and be God's plan A, which is to share then the word of Jesus. And then make more disciples. So how do we equip each other to then equip others? And how do we just build that covenant of people to support each other, to praise God, and to live life with each other? So my promise is that I'm covenant, and for all of you, I'm there for you. And I'm ready to be a disciple and to do life with you.
Hi, I'm Joe. just wanted to share a little bit of a follow-up on the discipleship aspect. Just two things. One is that one of the guys talked about not just telling someone that you're working with what they need to do, and not just teaching them how to do, which is another step, but actually training them how to go through and do what they need to do. And that applies also to me learning as far as the discipleship. Kind of recognized that there's some people that I've kind of need to reconnect with and kind of re-disciple or seek out them to disciple under. So a lot of it was also about reconnecting relationships and things like that. So just wanted to share those couple points. Thank you.
That was my dad.
Yeah, Mike. All right. So, I'm Isaiah. I would just say this, yeah, this conference is really powerful for me, really life-changing for anyone who goes, I would say. I mean, it's, not going to grab that. All right, so I have some notes here. It was just really inspiring to be around fellow believers for this trip. Just the whole pro-life rally, that was just being there was really powerful among fellow believers. You really felt God's presence there. It was just amazing. The fact that we're standing for the unborn, he really made that point pretty clear. And just the different messages, Keith Tusi, one of our overseers gave there, is just like, it was just really powerful. But yeah, like ones before me talked about, it was just about covenant and really standing and putting yourself out there for the Lord and being a true band of brothers and not just standing on the sidelines, but actually fully committing to the Lord, which I'm gonna do. So, throughout the trip, it was actually hard for me in some areas. I had some doubts from the enemy, but I just felt really lifted up being there, and I went up to get prayed for, and it was really good. Like one message that really stuck out to me, and I can't remember what his name was. It was, or I remember his first name was Eric. He was just really helping out people, spreading the gospel in New York City, really helping the community, and we end up having putting together like $2,000 actually for $20,000 actually for people in that area that just need food and stuff, and yeah, that was a blessing. So, so Eric, he actually just a bunch of people were waiting to come to church because he was like one of the only few churches open. So, and there were like 70 or so people just waiting to come to church, and they actually ended up forming their own church, I believe. Curbside Church is what it's called. Yeah, that was really good. So it was just amazing things like that. It was, his message was really inspiring. So, one verse that really stuck out to me, I can't remember where it is in the Bible, but it's, God started a work in you, he's faithful to complete it. So that's what I really believe. So that's.
All right. I'm Nick. Hi. My oldest son, Caden, who is probably still sleeping right now, went with me on this conference, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and was speaking in tongues and just believing God has some awesome things in store for him. The word that kept jumping out at me was brothers. I just kept seeing brothers, brothers. And I grew up with two sisters, so I always wanted brothers. I'm sure you guys have heard that before. Yeah, I was starving for brothers. And I was reading in Matthew 12, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And I just want to say, this place is a family. You know, I've had a certain homesickness in my spirit the last couple years, and that's because I haven't got to see you guys. Sorry, Ray let me drive his minivan home, and I think my testosterone levels are... they're all out of whack. I love you guys. And you're my brothers, and God was just really speaking to me about just the realization that this is a family, and I love you guys very much, and I'm just very grateful for what Jesus has done in my life through this family. And in Proverbs 27, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another," and I just feel the sharpest when I'm with you guys.
My name's Ben. My wife and I, we are newer to this church. We came less than 2 years ago and a couple little kids. And this is my second men's conference. Actually, last year I went. And I just want to, first of all, say thank you to you guys, because this conference, the church helps us all go to this conference by paying for our lodging and our travel and parts of it. So thank you guys, and this, one of my highlights of this is just to get to know some other guys in this church. It happened last year, and it happened again for me this year, and also some random facts. Who knew that Miranda and Cassie are sisters? I found that out on this trip, and yeah, I did not know that. And I learned that I have a lot in common with a teenager, Aiden Snesrud. I actually really bonded with him this trip, so that was really fun. And and also riding with the guys down there, Gabe and Jason and Nate in my vehicle. It was just, it's just a really good chance to get to know other guys in this church. And so I would encourage you men out there who are either newer to this church or who've never gone on a conference like this, to really start praying for next year when we have this conference, because it is truly a time to fellowship with other men in this church and get to know people. So just a couple words that stick out to me from the conference. There's, like Ryan was saying, there's a lot of different workshops, there's seminars, it's just an influx of word from the Lord, and a lot of great teachers, a lot of great men. The first night, Keith Tusey's talked on covenant, like Ryan said, and covenant is kind of a foreign word to us. We don't really use it a lot, but it is word of the Lord to his people. He is in covenant with his people, and he has been through the ages. And it's such a beautiful picture, because God has taken us, pulled us out of the muck and mire. If we hear his word and believe on Christ, whom he has sent, we have eternal life, and we have covenant. We enter immediately covenant, in a covenant relationship with the Lord. And that's happened throughout all time, from Adam to Noah to Abraham, through the Old Testament, to Christ and Christ building his church, and through the early church. Sometimes we think about the church and how it's, we wonder how it survived even through the ages of the first millennia and then the Middle Ages. But all that time, God was keeping covenant with his people all the way up to today. We are God's covenant people. If you are someone who has been changed by the working of God in your heart, you're a covenant people, and we are covenant people. And so that, it's just, it kind of just really was something on my mind a lot, thinking through that and how God has been faithful to his people through the ages, and that he will continue to be even to today and beyond. And another word that really stood out to me was immediacy. It wasn't really something that was talked about a lot, but through a lot of the speaking, it just was prevalent that the kingdom of heaven is near, and we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And sometimes we can get very complacent and very comfortable, but there's always something to do. And the picture of the theme, arise and build, arise was talked about as a state of action. It's this idea that you come from something into something, and that something is inactivity. When we arise and wake in the morning, we arise from inactivity into activity. And it's that same idea that we, as God's people, when he saves us and when he changes our lives, we arise from a death into life. And we don't just arise, but we build. God is calling his church to build, and one thing that really stuck out to me when Keith was talking about covenant people, when covenant people do all these things, they embrace the heart of God for justice, they promote the kingdom of heaven, but what really stood out to me was that covenant people seek out other people, and they see themselves as ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. And God laid on my heart a couple people on my mind to seek out as a result of this weekend. So that was a highlight for me, and just really, really glad that I went.
Hi, my name is also Ryan, but I think speaking on what Nick brought up, brothers, at the Planned Parenthood, 460 brothers locking arms, yelling, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And just the power of that many godly men together yelling that was outstanding. And having brothers in covenant, too, means that we're all together and we're all going to get through something. Whether you need help, you can go to a brother. They need help, you can go to them. And having that kind of ability to do that is amazing and awe-inspiring, because you can do anything with your brothers, and you can choose to be with them through something or deal with it on your own. But being with your brothers, they may have gone through something similar, and they can help you go through that. But worship from our worship team was, I was standing in front of a speaker probably 15 feet away, and there's times I can barely hear Tony singing. It was like, geez, I can't imagine what it sounds like outside. There's just a rumble from 460 guys in one building. It was amazing. And the workshops too. I stayed in the personal freedom of Christ, and Brother Rod, that was a really great message that he spoke on how he came to know what he was like before and after, and how he turned from his sinful nature to his godly nature. And that really inspired me, and it made me think about how I'd been acting, like how I perceived things, what I did. And I think that really changed me. This was one of the better, this was the best conference I've been to yet.
Hi, I'm Gabriel. So late Friday night, I went to talk to Pastor Steve, and I said, this is my third band of brothers, and the first 2 years were really, really powerful. And I said to Pastor Steve at Friday night, you ever go to something like this and it just feels, and he said the word flat. And I just feel like I'm getting as much out of this as I have in past years. And he assured me it happens. He's been there before. And I hadn't lost hope. I just was wondering when it was going to hit me, because it is such a powerful, powerful event that's done so much in my life in the past few years that I've been part of this awesome church and the fellowship. So what really struck me was yesterday morning at the pro-life rally, when the pastors touched base on something that I think is not in the spotlight as much as it needs to be, and that's men's role in this genocide of unborn children, and the fact that we as men believe the lie that this is a woman's problem, when really, in all actuality, it comes back to the way that men treat women and the way that men treat their daughters and their sons. So what I came out of there with was, I know my number one job on this earth is to be a child of God, but my number two job is to be a good dad to my babies, to my kids. If I don't do the groundwork, if I don't stick with my kids, if I don't teach my son how to treat women, and if I don't teach my daughter how to love herself, then I have failed as a father. Nothing else really matters in my kids' lives but what I do for them and what their mother does for them. And yes, that's where it smacked me.
Hi, my name is Ross, and before I start, I have ought against somebody, so I'm going to have to make that right before I testify. And Isaiah, I want to forgive you for what you did to me. Okay? I'll tell you what he did. We're checking into the hotel, and he's my roommate. And by the way, I was with some of the neatest guys. They had everything all organized and everything, so I had to amp up my game. So I'm putting things away, and I go over to the closet to slide the door open, and there's Isaiah standing in the closet staring at me. And he scared the bejeebers out of me, and I can't seem to get that vision out of my mind. But I think I'll be healed from that too, but you are forgiven. I have no idea what possessed you to do that, but. So anyway, I want to ask the guys, if I said, if I got one thing out of it, it's 70. Does that mean anything to you guys? 70%? 70% is the number that they quoted at the rally for, it's actually Planned Parenthood's number, that wherever people rally, demonstrate in prayer, 70% of the business drops. And I mean, one of the things that happened to me when I got saved was I recognized that the things that are happening in the natural, you can't put the A plus B plus C and explain everything in the natural. And one of the things that we learn as a believer is that there is a supernatural realm that's influencing things that are going on. So so I have caught the vision of prayer and been praying for people for decades, family members for decades and everything. And I was telling Steve, sometimes I get discouraged at God's timing, but it was inspirational for me to be around these guys. And it seems like this network of related pastors was born in jail. They all met in jail for standing up for Christ. And when much of the church did not, these guys stood. And here they are in 2020, still standing as if it was day one. I mean, they truly inspired me to keep going, you know, keep believing. And I guess one of the revelations that I got, particularly for family members, I've had this revelation, but it was reinforced, is that we don't go by what we see in our family members. We go by what God has promised us. So that's what I got out of the conference.
Hi, I'm Ed. There wasn't a lot that one thing stuck out. It was a whole bunch of things. It was the thing of standing arm in arm, 400 plus men, every color and nationality, all shouting Jesus over that Planned Parenthood. And yesterday, after we did that, Pastor Heath had the black guys out on the street, and we prayed over them, because the black population accounts for about 13% in the nation, but they account for about 37% of the abortions. And so we were praying about the inequalities and all that. And the police finally showed up. Two cars. One guy came up the street, turned his lights on, the guys off the street, went down, parked for his buddy, and they drove off. I was kind of bummed. This last year they had multiple cars, and the cops were out watching, and at the clinic, there was people coming out the door and escorting the women in. And this year, there was three or four cars rolled up, and they all hopped out and locked in by themselves. But then I got to think about it. The place is kind of looking run down. The parking lot was as bad or worse than ours. The building, it's getting grabby and scratched in the cement. And I thought, well, maybe that's a sign. They're losing the fight. Another thing I noticed was these young guys. Maybe I'm, because I'm a grandpa, it's starting to sink in, but it's awesome to see the sons and the fathers bonding and growing together. Even these guys. And I know Bruce had his son there was 30-something. make him finish. So I'm encouraged by how things are going. Covenant that he's talked about on Thursday night, I've got some work to do. But then Saturday morning there was a guy talked about build. The arise, the laziness of life. And they talked about build. What am I building? What are you building that will last? And I see where I've got some foundations I've put in that I have to go back and fix. So
well, dearly beloved, we're gathered here today. I'm going to do it, Paul, every year. Paul's like, don't do that joke. No one's going to laugh at it. And no one did, so thank you. But it's good to be here. I'm Jason, by the way. My wife, Cassie, and I lead the student ministry here. And a few things that really stuck out to me, first and foremost, is that how Nick was saying that we're a family, we're all brothers, which is awesome. And most what I got a lot, especially being a part of the leaders' breakfast, sitting with all the important people, it was kind of nervous for me. But it was really, really encouraging to know that this church is a family, but this church is a part of a big family, not just capital C Church globally as the Bride of Christ, but as a part of the NRP. We are blessed with so many amazing men and women of God that have made it their life's call to not just, you know, do church and plant churches and do all that stuff, but to pour in to men and women to steward the local church across the nation. We have amazing resources, we have amazing people, and I was just so thankful to be a part of that. So that was very encouraging. Because a lot of this year for 2020, and a lot of people here I know, like discouragement has been like a theme. You know, you see something and you're like, oh my gosh, just the world in general this year, and just a lot of other personal things for me too, just being discouraged. And every year the Holy Spirit finds a way to just wreck me. And feeling discouraged, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me saying, you're not a failure. You're right where you're supposed to be because I'm with you. Because one of my favorite verses in the Bible, end of Matthew 28, a last verse, Jesus just gave the disciples the Great Commission, the greatest calling and purpose that we as Christians could ever do. So pressure's on. And he wraps it up with, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I have that verse like circled, underlined, arrows are pointing to it. It's highlighted. Like, don't forget that. And funny, one of the past, I think it was Pastor Frank, was talking about, you know, Jesus is trying to talk to his church, but we're asleep. You know, if you talk to your spouse and they're asleep, it's pretty frustrating. And also not growing tired of, you know, God lets you know all the time that he still loves you. You do that with your spouse. It's not, I do, okay, I don't have to say it ever again, because I already did, right? Sometimes we treat God like that, but God doesn't treat us like that. It's continually like, I still love you, I'm still here. And that just encouraged me that I need to keep reminding myself to say that to God, like, God, I still love you, and I'm still following you. That was a really big thing for me personally. And being encouraged not only as like a disciple of Jesus, as a husband, and as, you know, leading a ministry here at the church, it's been really encouraging. It was awesome to see two of my guys get to go, I'm right here, so give me a high five. Come on, put me on the spot. Jeez. It was really awesome to see two of my guys get to go to Band of Brothers with me this year. And I hope next year there's going to be more and more and more and more. So it's really encouraging that NRP is really like passing the baton to the next generation to keep passing it, to keep passing it, to keep passing it. You know, it doesn't just end. It's just continually a legacy. So that is what I got most out of the conference. And if you ever have the opportunity to go, I highly encourage that you participate and figure out all that God has for you and how he can better use you for his kingdom's sake. So, amen.
Hi, my name is also Jason, and that's my brother-in-law, Jason. Gabe, don't forget that, wherever he went.
We didn't plan it.
So the conference this year was really good for me. The first night, I think, was the most impactful, personally. And I've been dealing with some stuff the past 2 years where I've just been kind of feeling like a failure. And that's been making me to... I've convinced myself to make bad decisions in certain areas. And I've repented of that, and I've been walking in victory. Praise the Lord. But I haven't forgiven myself. And that first night when Tony started singing the verse of the first song, I just felt the love of the Lord and the forgiveness of Jesus just wash over me. And I just felt a weight drop off. Praise God. And then Keith Tusey started preaching his message on covenant people and what the aspects of covenant people do. And his fifth point was, covenant people seek people out. And he said something to the effect of, there might be someone in your life who used to be there and is no longer there. And a really good friend of mine, any of you have been coming to this church a while probably know who it is. But he, I don't think he backslid, but he has definitely lost the love he once had for the Lord. And he hasn't been coming around for quite a few years. And the Lord just put it on my heart to go up and seek prayer and intervention for him. And the pastor who prayed over me just encouraged me that he's going to be coming back to Jesus, praise the Lord, and that Jesus left the 99 to find the one. So, hallelujah.
Amen. I'm Tony. It was an awesome time to be with the group that was there with our guys. It was awesome to see so many of our guys go, and really, like what you were saying, Ben, about how what Pastor Keith was talking about Thursday night, it was about covenant people, and like Ben said, that's a word that we don't often use now. It's not really in our vocabulary, but it is it's a Bible word. It's a God word. And just because we aren't really using it doesn't mean it's not still important to God. And really to kind of piggyback off of what Ben was sharing, it's like the church throughout the ages has had some really dark times. And if you look at what's going on in our nation, it's not exactly a peachy time that we're going through. But more than us being covenant with each other, God is covenant with his children. And if you've put your trust in Christ, God is covenant with you. And that means an unbreakable commitment. And just after the ark, the flood, and Noah in the ark, God says he's going to put the rainbow in the sky as an everlasting covenant between me and you. That was another example of God's covenant. It's a promise. It's a promise that will never be broken. And so as God is covenant with us, he's calling us to be that, what he's demonstrating to us, he's calling us to be that to each other. Jesus said the greatest commandment, when he was asked, the greatest commandment, what's the greatest commandment, Lord? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second which is like it is love your neighbor as yourself. God commands us. We've been made, it is in our DNA since the garden. God made us for relationship with him first. But second, which is equally important, is God made us for relationship with each other. And that's why you see here testimony after testimony how good it was to get connected with each other during this conference. And I just want to say it doesn't have to be a conference. We're a local church. Amen. We're here to connect with each other. If you've walked in this room this morning, maybe this is your first time at this church, I just want to encourage you, this is a covenant church. If you walk in the doors, we want to love you, we want to serve you, we want to be a part of your life, and we want to help you see God's goodness in your life. And so as we're all encouraged to be covenant towards each other, that's what this conference was about, and what it stood out so much to me is God wants us to be healthy, spirit, mind, body, soul. God wants us to be healthy with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, so we can love God rightly, so we can love God rightly, but so we can love our neighbor rightly too. And that's where, I mean, you hear about the healing that God was doing in our hearts, the restoration that God was doing, the challenging that God was calling us up to. That's also, we can not only love him rightly, but we can love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, if you didn't go, God's still the same. Amen. God is the same here in Faribault this morning as he is in Merrillville, Indiana this week. So, and his goodness doesn't change. His goodness isn't only at a conference. I would highly encourage you, if you're thinking about going to the conference, men, go next year. But God is committed to us. And so he calls us to be committed to each other. Amen. That's it.